Book of Joshua, please, chapter 24, or Greek verse. Happy to see everyone here tonight. And thank you sincerely for coming, and our younger friends as well as our older ones. So at the end of chapter 24 of the book of Joshua, verse number 31. I don't know whether Joshua wrote this himself or not, but it says here in verse 31 of chapter 24, "And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel." I want to point out, if you're not familiar with the history, verse 31 in that first statement there, Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. That includes Moses' service. Joshua was with them for 40 years in the wilderness. I want to contrast and compare, please, 2 Timothy chapter 2 will be our next scripture tonight. 2 Timothy, please, chapter 2. And these are familiar words. Notice what he says here, verse number 1 of 2 Timothy 2, Paul to Timothy, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Now notice particularly verse 2 on my heart tonight. "And the things that thou hast heard of me, that thou hast Timothy, to me is Paul, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Now let me point out to you, the me is Paul, the thou is Timothy, the faithful men are those that will listen to Timothy, and the others also are the audience that will listen to the faithful men. So there are four generations in that verse. Verse number 3, we'll just read briefly here now, one or two verses in the chapter. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself, intermingles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Verse 5, "If any man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully." Down to the next verse, verse 6, "The husbandman that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruits." "Consider what I say, the Lord give thee understanding in all things." And let's go a little further, please, now, verse 15, for sake of time. "Study, be diligent, be busy, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Verse 20, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but of wood and of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. If any man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Notice verse 24. but the bond servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And that's one of the great gatherings. We're happy to see everyone here tonight. And there are even some here, and they're not long saved, related to see. There are others in there, and saved the lifetime, still going on for God. Now what's on my heart tonight, is to give a little encouragement to our younger brethren, and sisters, and young married couples among us. And if we do that, and we can reach their ear, we have no doubt, we'll have helped the older ones too. I would like to just give one or two wee things that's been on my heart recently. We have had the privilege this year of 1998 of traveling extensively in this continent. We have visited many assemblies and we have seen the work of God in different parts, north, south, east, and west, the North American continent. We're delightful to see that God is blessing souls. Sinners have been saved, as we've heard tonight in prayer. Assemblies have been established for the glory of Christ. Dear brethren, we've had the privilege of visiting quite a number of assemblies west of the Rocky Mountains in this great coastline. We have come tonight to encourage one another in the Lord and to be positive in our ministry. But we're in the real world. It's an amazing fact that most of the assemblies from Anchorage to the borders of Mexico on this west coast, not too many, have had increases in the assembly testimony. We thank God for those that have, but many are the reverse. And in quarters today, the assembly life is getting bigger. Brethren are telling to me all the time, by telephone, by email, by conversation. We're living in distressing days. What can we do? Dear brethren, we have come tonight to give you the solution, one of them at least, to encourage younger brethren and sisters to go on for Him. We thank God for those that have borne the burden and heat of the day. God is requiring workers to perpetuate the testimony to maintain things that God and David are. I think of Abraham and Lot. I think of Moses and Joshua. I think of Elijah and Elisha. I come to the New Testament and I think of Paul and Timothy. Paul and Titus, Paul and Luke, Paul and Hippolyta, Paul and Demas, so on. Older men helping others and younger men. I read you that verse at the end of Joshua's life, whoever wrote it. The comment on the testimony of the old economy. Moses, he led the people of God aright. Joshua followed him. And Joshua's elders that he taught to another generation. And it's anticipated that they taught others as well in wonderful work that God has done and wrought with his people. Dear brethren, we come to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 2. Old generation, Paul, Timothy, is the faithful man under the other. Now, if the statisticians are right, give or take a few percentage points, a generation of 40 years. Now, in these both incidents, if you read history or read the Bible, you'll find out that the fourth generation was a dangerous road. And the generations that succeeded on some occasion went away from the God of heaven. Now we know that the truth of gathering to the Lord's name was revived about 1825, the last century, in the old country, in the UK, in the different places of the world. It's stimulating really to read how those dear people moved from the state churches of Iran and gathered simply to the precious name of the Lord Jesus. They had a generation. 160 years on brings us to our day. We are in the fourth generation from the great fruit of gathering to the Lord's name was rediscovered and was instituted, and the coming again of the Lord Jesus through the hearts of those dear people. It's on record, for example, to give you one, for instance, of Lady Parsley, who was a mighty sister for God. She made many sacrifices in her day and generation. She had a beautiful estate and a beautiful home there in the south of Dublin, Southern Ireland. By and by, across her pathway one day, she met John Nelson Darby. He was a young man, as a curate, as the record shows, he had a church and a congregation in County Wicklow, south of Dublin. By and by, they gathered to the Lord's name and they fell in love with each other. And the record shows that Lady Parscourt one day wrote a letter to John Nelson Darby. And John Nelson Darby wrote a letter to Lady Parscourt. And for the sake of the Lord Jesus, for the testimony of his name, they said, we'll part company and we'll be good friends. Their letters crossed. They didn't know. They never married. So I haven't come here tonight to tell you not to marry. That's your business. Two are better than one, for sure. But I'll tell you something. The sacrifices that these young people made are astounding. Are we prepared in our day, right here on the West Coast, the Vancouver area, to make sacrifices for the testimony, to put the Lord first and all our interests second? Now, with that in view, then, to give you what's in my mind, let me very quickly come to this verse in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. And for those of you who are not long saved, let me suggest to you tonight that you never take a book and take a sentence out of it or a paragraph and say this is what it means. You must always take it in its context. Now let me very quickly show you how the Bible is put together and how this verse appears in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Toward the end of Paul's life, he wrote to his genuine child in the faith, Timothy. He wrote the first epistle, and Paul sent them to Ephesus as an apostolic delegate to handle things there. It's a church epistle, so that's church order. But then, a short time later, before he went home to heaven, he wrote 2 Timothy, and it's a personal letter. And in this letter, also in chapter 6 of 1 Timothy, the young man is called a man of God. Only record of a man in the New Testament called a man of God. No doubt there were many, many others. But the Spirit of God highlights Timothy. 2 Timothy is an encouragement to him. And in this personal letter, Paul can see. And to give the picture, Paul is in his middle 60s. Or thereabouts. The younger man, Timothy, is late 30s. Some writers tell us he was 40. He was at least 35, 36, 37, somewhere in there. He wasn't a teenager, but he was a younger man. And the older man writes to the younger man. He says, I want to encourage you in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy. If you want a heading for that chapter, Here we can call up the encouragement for the man of God. He's a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Encourage the younger man to get involved. He would encourage younger men right here in the Vancouver area. We'll start with Victoria Drive and with Woodland Drive and all other drives to get involved for the Lord Jesus. Chapter 2 are the essentials to be a man of God. Do you want to be a man of God? Do you want to have the blessing of God in your life? Well, chapter 2 tells us a little about it. But you see, lest the young man should be elated and realize that maybe he had a little more ability than others. Chapter 3 of 2 Timothy reminds them the environment that he passed through. The last days, perilous times shall come. Difficult times shall come. We're right here. Men shall be lovers of themselves and lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And that great theme there, we won't go into it tonight, but it's amazing to see that the very things that are cited in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're living in them right now in Vancouver. He realizes that he's going to mature for God and develop and be effective. He better be in the ways of what kind of environment he's passing through. Wicked world out there tonight. There are young men in this city, this year, in assembly fellowship, have been overcome. That's the one, right? God is a God of recovery. Beloved, tonight, always approach this subject in this day, that nothing that another person has done, I can do the same myself, even worse. Finishes 2 Timothy chapter 4. And it's the exodus of the father of the man of God for himself. A very interesting story. I read it recently. Josephus, the historian, tells us, and he went out that day outside the city of Rome. He's an honored servant of Christ in his middle 50s. Left for eternity, head severed from his body. The time of my departure is at hand. The boat is leaving its moorings in chapter 4. He's going over to another horizon, going home to see the man who served so well for all these years. All right. I come to my verse tonight, and this is what I want to get at. Every chapter in the Bible has its division. And every teacher or those who read the scripture, different divisions appeal to them in different ways. Now I'm going to suggest to you one that I've enjoyed recently in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. Very, very simple. My beloved brethren who are ahead of me here tonight, or my senior, know more about the scripture than I do, but I've come here to tell you very simply, the message is from my heart. You look at your Bible and I'll point them out to you. Chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, verses 1 to 7. Here I'm suggesting that faithfulness in view of the character of the servant that Timothy will be involved in. What do you mean? Well, he's going to have to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He's going to have to strive lawfully. He's going to be involved in a conflict. That's the character of the servant through which we will pass. And we're doing exactly the same thing. That's the first division of this chapter, verses 1 to 7. Then there is the second section, the center section, verses 1 through 13. And here it's faithfulness in view of reigning with the Lord Jesus. I didn't need that section. It's a beautiful section of 2 Timothy. Paul's telling the younger man, well, if we died with Christ, we're going to live with him And if we suffer for him, we'll reign with him. He knew all about suffering. He says further, if we deny him, he will deny us. That's the positive and the negative. There's beautiful truth here about the person of Christ. Oh, brethren, we serve tonight the love of Christ. And in view of what the Lord would go through and is doing and has gone, he says, keep that in mind in your service. And then, of course, verses 14 through 26, the end of the chapter, is in view, its faithfulness in view of false teachers. A young friend here tonight, I give you a little advice. Doesn't matter who you listen to, myself included, don't accept anything unless you test it by the Bible. There are people here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Hymenaeus and Philetus, and others, that went wrong in doctrine. They said that the resurrection of Christ was past. We call that misplaced truth. Very subtle. Don't imbibe the isms of men today, whoever you may be here tonight in front of me, and I say the same thing to myself. Very, very important that you believe the doctrine of the Bible, because doctrine and practice go together. You need to know exactly what the Bible teaches on any given subject, and all the answers for life right here. We get to our verse. Paul says, Timothy, I want you to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. And he wants them to be growing in strength, spiritually strong. But then you see, he tells them in the next verse, I don't want you just to be strong yourself. I want others that you teach to be strong likewise. Why? Three reasons I'm going to suggest in the big picture of 1st and 2nd Timothy. 1st Timothy, 2nd Timothy chapter 1 tells us that there were many in Asia. The known Asia at that time had forsaken and were forsaking all the apostles. All they of Asia have turned away from me. What a sad statement. He brought them the truth of God. They were saved through his ministry. They gathered to the precious name and learned the truth of the assembly and turned away. Says Timothy, others have gone wrong in their teaching, in their doctrine, as I pointed out. He says, Timothy, in a very short time, I'm going home to heaven. He says in chapter 4, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Long to see your face. The historian tells us he never saw his face. The winter set in, some of the hidden earth. Why? In view of the winds of change around our world, and others that have been taken home to heaven, and others some that have gone wrong in doctrine, the veteran. Very important upon all of us tonight that we learn what Paul says here to Timothy. Let me ask you a question. How do you think the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ in the city of Vancouver and Miria, or wherever you come from, London, Ontario, or wherever it may be, how is it going to be carried on? Our God is going to carry on his work. He has to bring younger men on, younger sisters. And you need to prepare yourself in the early part of your life that God will use you and make you a blessing wherever you go. I won't go down names tonight, but I've just been thinking today in my study as I thought of this line of ministry. In the last 5 years, how many elders have gone home to heaven in the Vancouver area. Further south. The last one was our brother David Britt. Left our midst in September of this year. He's a man that we cannot replace. Is the testimony of God going to falter and stumble? Nay, verily. I believe it will continue to the coming again of the Lord Jesus. But you and I need to be exercised before God and prepare ourselves that we might move on for Him. Now here's the picture. It's the relay race. There are four generations, and the international relay race of the Olympics, or whatever it may be, the summer or the winter games, or the World Olympics every 4 years. When it comes to the relay race, the baton has to be taken from A to B to C to D. Four laps, as you all know. Whenever I was a younger person, I was very interested in athletics. And I used to watch the relay race. I used to see that point where after the first lap, for example, was over, the first man ran alongside the second man and he transfers the baton, and that for a short period of time, the running together. And Paul and Timothy. That's Timothy and the faithful men. The faithful men and the others. As you all know, in the last games, the U.S., they were on the point of winning. They were on the third lap. Oh, it's not sure they had the gold medal. It was a done deal. But from the third to the fourth lap, drop that cover. Did your athletes cry? They fumbled it. Apparently, they veterans. Let me speak to the older ones tonight. I hope we won't fumble the baton. They don't give a clear ministry to our younger brethren who are coming off. Paul gave a very, very clear ministry to Paul, to Timothy. Says, Timothy, what I got on the Damascus Road, the deposit of truth, I carried it with the help of God for over 30 years, and I'm handing it to you. It hasn't been diminished in any way by the use of God. I have upheld the truth. God has upheld me. I want you to do the same. What a spiritual young man Timothy was. We believe that he taught faithful men in his day, who in turn taught others that outlived them. Brethren, are you a young brother here tonight? You're interested. Thank God for all who are interested. A young woman too. Tell you the testimony until the day of his return. He was very new. Now let me show you, just now, in a few, who in turn taught others that outlived them. Brethren, are you a young brother here tonight? You're interested. Thank God for all who are interested. A young woman too. Carry the testimony until the day of his return. He is very new. Now let me show you, just now, in a few minutes that are left, how you can prepare yourself, young friend, to be a man or a woman for God. Hey, all right. We thank God tonight every day that we live. Older men that took an interest in us. I revere the memory of brethren who sat me down at their side and showed me how to read the Bible, and how to study the Bible, and how to preach the Bible, and help others.
I thank God for those men every day. Dear brethren, we need to do it today with younger men. How are they going to learn? Oh, the Spirit of God will teach them. Absolutely. We all need help. No man loveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. We all need help. Now, in this chapter, very simply, Paul tells Timothy, if you're going to be a man of God, there are seven essentials. And I'll just point them out to you at that time, it'll be time to go home. See, he says, for example, in verse number 2, a genuine saint. It's a metaphor, it's a figure. He says, now if you're going to be a man of God, here's the essential. Number 1, you need to be a son. A family. You need to have salvation. Most people say there's no point in talking like that, but they're not. They'll never serve the Lord Christ unless they're saved by the grace of God. I will ask you tonight, are you absolutely sure that you're saved tonight? And all our lives, my soul lives away. Then is all. I hope and stay. Christ the solid rock I stand. All the blood should be sad. You are not to die then. You are not to take you over the boundary line into eternity. And God, you can answer tonight in a positive. Upon a life I did not live, upon a life, upon a death I did not die. Another's life. Another's death. Yet in the Holy Spirit. I will tell you tonight, after 41 years in Christ, I'm absolutely sure tonight, saved by the grace of God for you. Now here's the next metaphor. He says now in verses 3 and 4, he talks about the soldier. And we can't go into all the statements about it, but let me just say one thing about it. The soldier in this context is a soldier on active duty. He's in the trenches. He's not a soldier on the square, on a parade. Boots and all shined up, a lovely uniform, taking the salute and all the rest of it. Ah, no. An active soldier. And he says, if you're going to make it for God and be a man of God, you'll need to understand, Timothy, endure hardness. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You're not out in the real world. If we're going to make progress in divine things, we need to be an active servant for the Lord Jesus, up on the trenches, for the gospel, for example. Thank God for those here in the assembly and in our own assembly who are out in the trenches, the spiritual trenches of Vancouver, telling people of the Lord Jesus, died to save them for eternity. Thank God for all who come to our homes and come to our gospel halls, but we need to get out and talk to them. The next door neighbor of us that lives opposite the road, opposite our street in this street, Burnaby, very nice man he is. He has tried for years to bring the gospel to him. To have them. My wife too. A few nights ago was carried out in an ambulance to hospital, but he wasn't going to make it. His wife was carried out the same night. You are here. I talked to her yesterday. I want to tell you she's gone. She listened very attentively to what they had to say. She people can live without Christ and die without. You need to be up and doing, dear brother. There's a series of meetings coming along. You need to help all of us. You're one person.
Well, he says, here's another thing. He says, the athlete is in first place.
Well, he strives for the mastery,
for the prize, must do it lawfully. You could have all the steel deal in the world, Brett. And I love our young men that have zeal, and they're full of spiritual vim and vigor. Thank God for them, every one of them. Remember, there's a crown only for those who strive lawfully. I never read this verse, but I think of Ben Johnson. The day he stood in Seoul, in Korea, and he won the gold medal for the sprint for Canada. The Prime Minister rung him up and congratulated him. Less than 24 hours later, he gives it up in disgrace. Found the drug in his net. On the hit and won. Didn't strive lawfully. Stripped. Oh, brethren, he sat at the beam of Christ. Poor Venus, come for another little while. Cast 10,000 trophies down, adoring at his feet. Do it, and you serve according to the rules. Very important. What are the rules? Rules are in the Bible. Whatever service you seek to do it for him. Here's another one, the husbandman. He says here in verses 6 and 7 that he's laboring, and he must be first partaker of the fruit. Oh, I learned very, very simply. We're going to see work done, and if we're going to become men and women of God, we need to live. We need to labor in the word and the doctrine, and we need to labor in service, and we need to labor in assembly life, and we need to labor in all the facets that's associated with the testimony. We never want to be critical. I read a letter to the assembly on Tuesday night that he spoke to my heart from her sister, Marion Ronald. And that dear sister described in vivid language what she did in a given week. Brethren, the sister, a poor person, dedicated her life to Christ, as many of you know, who are heads of God. Really? You talk about laboring for God. But maybe that's one of our next year. There's a complacent spirit around. That's what the devil looks. We would often do labor for the master. Jesus Christ. Here's another one. The workman, verses 15 to 18. Study. To show thyself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. Never make it in divine things, young friend. Unless you get down to the study of the Bible. Oh, people tell me all the time, Dan, if you just knew the circumstances I'm living in. Man, I'm up every morning at 5 o'clock and it's a rat race till I get home. And whenever I get home, I'm tired. And if they're married, they have their little ones to see. Absolutely. I always say to them, welcome to the club. Thank God you're in it. You're going to make it for God. You have got to study the Bible. Wife and little ones are sleeping. Young brethren that are not married tell me whenever I get married there are plenty of time. And they tell you you'll have left time. There's the time to get started. Read the scriptures. Study them. And what you enjoy, put it down on paper. Because if the Lord doesn't come, you'll forget it. Then meditate on it. Learn to divide scripture in its context. The dispensations of the Bible. You never learn what the Bible teaches unless you understand the dispensation of truth and so on. You must cut the straight furrows, as the farmer would do in the field, as the captain would do in the sea, the compass and the chart, the moon, Taylor would do in the floor.
If you don't study the scriptures and know how to divide it and learn it, you can make the Bible say anything.
God's not an author of confusion, no. God is the author of order. Learn the scripture simply in its context. If you start tonight, if some of you just stay at the short time, if I could reach you tonight, God would bless your service. 41 years ago, I was only saved 4 weeks when the late Mr. T.E. Wilson from Angora came into the city of Belfast, Northern Ireland. And he came to the very hall where I was saved. He opened up to us Matthew's Gospel and the Sermon on the Mount, the Olivet Discourse, 24 and 25. I was only saved 4 weeks. Never heard anything like it in my life. Took Luke, went home and read it, talked to the man, learned it in its context. I lived with him still. You are better tonight. Good work. Learn to study the Bible. What about the church? Oh, I think I see Paul telling Timothy, Timothy. And Paul wasn't critical. Paul was a realist. He says, whenever you go to Ephesus, now listen to this, when you go to the assembly at Ephesus, it's a very large company, very strong, they're giving you a mandate. And among the mandates, you're to charge some that they teach no other doctrine. And he says, you're a younger man, and whenever you come up against these boys, you'll need to know God, and you'll need to wait on God. He says about Alexander the coppersmith, he even mentioned the man. He did me much evil. Watch him. And he said, younger man, listen to me now for a minute. With all goodness, right? You get over anxious. You learn something from the Bible and you study it out and you enjoy it and you're living it in your life and you give it. You run into opposition. You want to push it. You know. Servant of the Lord must not stress. Oh, I could say that for myself tonight. But be gentle. Can't slam anything down anybody's throat. Won't do. Servant of the Lord teaches in context. He teaches in the fear of God with the help of God. He said of God to do it. Oh, help us. Would you like to become a man of God? Yes, yes. Oh, bless us. Heavenly Father, we reverently address thee tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for all who have come here tonight and destroy your friends. We ask thy blessing upon all of us, our younger men and our younger sisters, as they're moving on for thee. We thank you for any exercise that they have, even as we pray. That the Lord may not come and we move into the new year in Ireland, that we might have men and women of God right here in the Vancouver area, on the west side of the Rocky Mountains of this great continent, that will stir our hearts to live for Christ, and will see others one for heaven. And bless all these dear saints who need our prayers tonight. Our brother John Fritz, for many years has labored for thee. We thank you for his life of testimony and service. We believe that the reward awaits him at that day. Bless him tonight, bless your wife and family, and remember all of these others that have been asked to pray for. Remember, again, Jody Gray. Oh God, what a sad situation he's in tonight. And remember, his uncle there, Chris as well, from NDPD. Many others of people have received thanks for this good day and for the Lord Jesus and for the reverent attention to thy word. Help us all to live with it. Part one from the other, receive thanks. Amen. Good night. 2 verses 3, 443. I appreciate the opportunity to hear tonight. Trust that the Lord will bless the assembly at Victoria Drive, and that all of us will strive together to move on for Him. We need you, and you need us. Listen to these words here of this. We won't sing all the song. I thought of verse number 3. What a prayer to make the relief. Give me a faithful heart, likeness to thee, that each departing day henceforth may see. So, verses 3 and 4 of 443 are indicated, and are maybe go there under the cup.